podcast.
Welcome to We Know's Parenting.
I'm Peter. Hello, you are listening to We Know's Parenting.
It's a warm, welcoming, friendly show where two parents, real parents, Peter and Beth, talk about their lives. They're friendly and fun.
What is this? You're like the crime dog. What's
this? Take a bite out of crime?
Yeah.
Gruff. I'm Gruff the crime dog.
Take it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? I know that's not the crime dog, but it's a similar vibe.
You know where your children are? I'm a crime dog. This is your brain on drugs.
I just got your children doing crimes.
So he catches your kids? He doesn't help kids?
Remember the 90s?
Yeah. I do.
Remember when everything seemed so simple and you could just cut down on crime?
just say no.
Just don't be poor.
Don't you dare.
Okay, so we're doing it a little different this week because it's the morning time. So people are getting us...
What a nightmare this
bright-eyed
is.
...bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You're
How would you describe
You were
me?
Out late. I thought up until this moment when we started recording, I thought you were surprisingly chipper for how late you were out last night. But right now, you're really playing up the the malaise.
I would call this a literal hangover.
Wow. You would go there? You would go all the way there?
I would be so bold as to point out that I had, I don't think I had, I think I had three drinks, but I did not eat all day because it was a very busy day. The big annual Story Pirates party to welcome the new pirates and put on a show. And it is an insane amount of work, and it's super fun. I let my hair down, as I do sort of once a year, and it's harder and harder the older you get.
It really is. I was at this birthday party the other day, and one of the moms there was like, I had 1.5 drinks last night, and I feel horrible. It's like parenthood and aging or something. I don't know. My body just doesn't like it.
It's almost like
it's almost like it's poison that we put into our bodies.
I'm going to plug another great podcast, Stuff You Should Know. There's an episode about what a hangover is.
Right. And it's just poisoning your body.
It's like 14 things. One of them is alcohol goes into your stomach and then it gets broken.
Tell me more.
It gets broken down into this this component that's basically poison, and then your liver gives you another thing that neutralizes the poison. But when you have a certain amount of alcohol, your liver runs out of that thing, and so there's just this poison going through your veins until your liver can make more.
Yeah,
that's one
while you're incredibly dehydrated.
Go listen to that episode. It's anyway, one of the best podcasts.
I'm sure most of our listeners have never experienced a hangover before and are dying to know what we're talking about.
Myers.
Okay, so you were out. Let's get to our week, I guess.
Yeah. What happened in parenting?
What has been happening?
You went to a birthday party without me.
I went to a birthday party. It was good. Bryn was a little crazy. He saunters into any like child-based location, like the king of the hill. Like he's like,
don't worry, I'm here.
He's like just bossing everyone around. Like he's so comfortable. He's never been to this house before. He's like, it's all these little girls mostly, and then his one former friend from daycare who hates him. And Bryn is like so chipper, and he's like, I'm gonna get, because they're doing, there's this thing in our town, and I don't know if it's like everywhere or just specifically our town, but they hire these local women to paint faces and do these glitter tattoos where they like put a bunch of glue on a kid's arm and then sprinkle glitter all over it. And so I've seen this now at like a couple of birthday parties. And so Brandon's like waiting in line and he's like talking about the tattoos and he'll just like say all, whatever he's thinking, like you. And he's like, oh, you got to get these tattoos. Like he's like, and
you
then
gotta get these tattoos.
And then this kid who he used to go to daycare with, who's like slightly a bully to him, just kept being like, that's not interesting. That's not funny. Like he just was like shutting it down. And the woman doing the face paint was like laughing at him because it was just such a like odd couple dynamic of like Bryn just being like gregarious and being like just rolling with it and being insulted and being like, oh yeah, well you gotta get the like. And
Bryn knows like any news is good news. Any attention he's getting is good attention because he has the attention.
Well, not any attention is not good attention.
According to Bryn, it is.
But he also, when so they sat down at the table to eat like pizza or whatever, and all the kids are sitting there, and Bryn is like, hey, why is 6 afraid of 7? And he's like, because 7, 8, 9. And then everyone's laughing, and he's like, it's not 8 like the number. It's 8 like eating. And he's like, he's just like holding court, like so proud of himself. And then
I'm proud of him. That is the most me thing in the world.
Yeah, you were like, oh, do people need someone to talk right now? I'll tell you a story.
But specifically to go, here's a joke. Everyone laughs and then goes, let me explain why you liked what I did.
Right. You're like, here's the philosophy of comedy.
So, we're all just pattern recognition machines. Okay. Hunter-gatherer babies.
Okay. So Maven, she was like really enjoying it. It was a very girly birthday party and Maven was loving it. And then, you know, they got their face painted. She had a unicorn face paint and sparkly tattoo. And then we get home, like it's like an hour or two later. I'm laying in bed with her and she goes, Mommy, I liked eating the cake. And I was like, oh, good. Did you also like getting your face painted and getting a glitter tattoo? And she goes, I liked eating the cake. It was like, that's my girl. That's my girl. She did love the face paint and everything, but like just in that moment, she's like, I'm talking about the cake. She loved the cake.
The way you said it the first time, it was as if people expected her not to.
I think she just wanted to make a mental note where she's like, hey, just so you know, like I love cake. And if you want to keep it around the house, like
that's ever an option. I'm in.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to a birthday party this coming weekend as well. And I asked Bryn what his friend likes. And he said, lions. And I asked him again later and he said, lions again. So I said, this feels right. So we bought him some lions. But part of me thinks this kid has no particular feelings about lions.
It's very possible, but I think lions are a fine gift for anyone.
It's lions. Honestly, for whom are lions not a good gift?
So are those like toy lions laying on the counter the only thing that you got that kid?
Yeah, because I thought they were bigger.
Oh, okay.
But they're fine.
Well, my big thing, and I've probably already said this on the podcast, is just give people a few books. Doesn't take up a lot of space. It's not expensive.
That's a good thought. There's a book fair today. I could go. Families are welcome at the book fair.
Did you give him money?
I did.
Okay, good. No, we're not involved parents. He can handle it.
Oh, we have parent-teacher conferences tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which you're going to.
I'm kind of dreading it only because, not that it's going to be bad, but like, you know exactly what they're going to say, which is like, Bryn's smart, but he doesn't pay attention and is always like not listening and trying to have fun with his friends.
I'm very upset that I can't be there.
Yeah, well,
I have a good reason. I now have many reasons I can't be there.
I'm not necessarily upset that you won't be there.
I know. I think it's maybe better that one of us goes.
Well, I feel like last time you like they were like saying that stuff, but then they're like, and he's really smart or like he's really funny or whatever. And then you hear things like that and you're like, oh, yeah, let me tell you a tale of how great my son is. And then you start talking for so long. And I'm like, they know him, like this is for them to give us feedback.
I love my children. And myself, if that's not clear.
Okay. And then big news, we saw our baby nephew.
Oh.
So cute.
You met Sam and Raisa on the podcast. The big secret announcement.
The big secret announcement that they were pregnant several months ago, and now that
and here we are.
They have a baby, and he's so cute. And
he's a little tiny baby. He's early, but healthy.
Yeah.
And Maven is a fan.
Oh, Maven loved him.
She wanted to hold this baby for as long as we would let her.
And she would just stare lovingly at him and smile, and she would like... she was talking to Raisa about his toys and stuff and being like, I think this will be his favorite toy. Like, she's like very ready. Like, in her mind, he's like a full person that she's friends with.
Well, she's been tucking in stuffed animals and baby dolls for years now.
Yeah.
And to have one look at her.
And then Bryn, on the other hand, we had him try to hold the baby for about 2 seconds before he just like basically started like pushing the baby off of him. And
he was sitting
down. He panicked.
He goes, yeah, I'll hold the baby. And we put him, yeah, so we have these pillows set up. We just put him on his lap on the couch. And then he has 2 seconds and he looks up at me and he goes, okay, I'm done. And he rolls the baby.
He literally tried to push
like
the baby towards us.
Towards his knees and off the, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he really panicked.
Yeah.
You can feel this live squirming thing on
right.
him.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, like the sensation of holding like a warm, heavy baby. Like
it's the limp body of a baby that makes it feel like nothing else. I mean, it's also the thing that made me, I picked up that baby. I was like, oh my God, little tiny baby. And then
well,
I
as
needed
an adult,
to,
you go into like protective mode.
A weird thing happened to me. Which is obviously the sense memory. You just totally forget this huge part of your life that was that time where you were walking around with a tiny baby. And I had to get up and I had to just leave the room so I could start pacing and like bobbing the baby up and down. Mm-hmm. And the thing that was the most emotional for me is, you know, bobbing up and down and you can sort of feel the weight of the baby bounce in your arms as they like, I spent hours doing this, you know, in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want to do this for 20 minutes.
The
and
other,
then know that it's not my responsibility.
The other funny thing is like, so when we go places, Maven is usually pretty shy at first. Like she's not shy towards kids so much or like little girls, but adults.
Yeah.
And she walked in there and Raisa's mom, who is visiting from Bosnia to help out with the baby, just like sort of immediately like was talking to Maven, and like Maven's like sitting in her lap and she's like telling Maven how like beautiful she is or whatever. And like Maven just was like eating it up right away.
Yeah, they connected.
They really connected. Well, I think part of it is like she's a mother of three girls.
Yeah.
And she was just like, hello, beautiful girl. Like, it was just...
And has three grandsons.
And has three... Yeah. Unfortunately.
Boy, that's... Yeah, well, we walked in, and I realized I hadn't seen Reza's mom since they got married in Sarajevo, and that was 2 months after Maven was born.
That's right.
Born in a car.
So she went, and she saw Maven at the wedding.
Yeah,
as a
and
two
so
or 3 month old.
We walked into their apartment, and I saw her see Maven, and just the look on her face, I could see all that time.
Right.
In the shock, in that like, this is Maven.
She was like that tiny baby that danced at my daughter's wedding.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. Time flies when you're having kids.
Great family.
Great family. It was a really fun wedding, I will say. Like, one of the most fun. Now we're just like way off topic, but
they don't do wedding speeches really. There are some interesting mixing of cultural norms between the American and Bosnian family. Everyone was awesome and super positive, but we had a rehearsal dinner, which I guess really isn't a thing. But then we did speeches, which is definitely not a thing. And boy, I'll tell you, I crush a rehearsal dinner speech.
And you were sad that you couldn't.
I did not connect with that audience.
Who had no idea what you were saying.
Half of them had no idea what I was saying. And we were in an L-shaped restaurant. And I was, me and my brothers.
You all were like, I'm really bombing tonight.
Yeah. And I was like, well, my brother before me just bombed. I'm going to pick it up. Nope. I just bombed. And then my dad gets up there. He's the last one. And he goes, I have a few things to say. You know, my dad, very sort of stoic, succinct, confident man, gets up and delivers a full speech in Bosnian. And the whole room suddenly perks up. Like they're like, why the hell are these speeches happening? And you could see everyone paying attention. And he brought the house down
with his
heartfelt Bosnian speech.
Your dad wrote a speech. Then he knew a Bosnian guy outside Chicago who he became friendly with, who helped coach him through learning this speech in Bosnian.
Well, he didn't know this guy. He had to find somebody.
He went through his brother. But it was like through their community or not. Like it wasn't like he was 2 degrees of separation. But he like, this guy helped him. And your dad like perfectly practiced a full Bosnian speech, not speaking the language at all.
He would record the speech, send it to the guy. The guy would give him notes, call him back.
So funny. And then my favorite part is like, at the end of the speech, people are like crying, like they love the speech. It's beautiful. They can't believe this man took all this time to do this. And your mom is like, responding to everyone loving it. And she's like, well, I didn't understand a word he was saying. And it's like classic your mom.
My mom, who is the best, is my favorite thing is that like she's so positive. And she's so just like, everyone's great and surprisingly unsentimental.
Well, she also just says whatever she's thinking. So it's like, there's no malice in what she's saying.
No, not
she's
at
just
all.
Like, hmm, well.
I am my mother's son. That was a great wedding.
It was great. Anyway.
And this is a great baby as a result.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to get to know this little person. And I think Maven is really going to step into her power as like protective older cousin.
She's like, yes, guess what? I'm not the youngest anymore.
She's going to like read him books and.
Boo boo. Bryn and the letter N. Can we talk about that?
We talked about the letter N.
Yeah, he refuses to do N the correct way. And it's not just a little kid thing where he's mixing up letters and doing them backwards, you know, and I maybe made a mistake by being like, oh, hey, I've noticed on these papers, these are great work from school.
I pretty much never correct them on their writing. Like Maven is writing like full words, like not like she needs help spelling everything, obviously. And she doesn't always know what a letter looks like, but you can explain it to her and she'll write it.
Yeah.
And like, it's really unpredictable with both of them when they're going to write the whole words backwards or when the letters are just going to be like strewn around the page instead of in a complete word. But
strewn?
Yeah, like she'll start writing letters and it'll be like, she'll write like right to left on the page and going downwards. Like it's just like, where are these letters
going?
She's
following her feelings.
But every time I'm just like so impressed that she's writing letters and I'm just like, great job.
She has much better control of her hands.
And self.
Yeah. But the thing is like with Bryn, he will take notes. He likes corrections. Like you saw, he just wrote the full alphabet on this board. Mm-hmm. And you got two of the letters backwards. But not so long ago, there'd be more of them. And he just has dug in on the letter N because it's in his name. And so I brought it up like the wrong way once. And he's just like, I know. I want to do it this way.
You need to let it go. Let it happen at school when his peers bully him.
Just let the bullies take care of the parenting. Last thing I want to talk about is, so our kids are not super athletic. And they never really, they don't have a lot of practice with just like throwing and catching.
Because we don't give them that practice.
Right.
Yeah.
But Bryn is suddenly into it. he wants to. We got this little like half deflated football that's easy to catch, and he's like, "Let's play catch."
And because he's at after school with these other boys, and they're all just throwing balls around all afternoon.
It's true.
Yeah.
And so we found at Sam and Reese's out back there was these Velcro gloves, you know, Velcro palette, and then the Velcro ball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy catch, and so we started doing this, and it was fun. And Bryn's throwing was not great. I'm trying to coach him, but I'm also just like, just let him have fun. And then finally, he just drops his thing and puts it back on the wrong hand. And then suddenly he could throw. And just realized he's a lefty.
Yeah.
You know, when he's little, we thought he was a lefty. And then he sort of gravitated to his right hand. And then he's back. Suddenly he's just throwing with his left hand and he was great at it. And throwing was awesome.
Well, I mean, these are the things that involved parents would know. Yeah, he's a lefty.
And now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, Would You Knows? This is where we posit a parenting hypothetical or something just insane to the other to ask the question, would you knows
okay,
what
so
to do?
Okay, so this one comes to us from a listener. Her name is Raina, and she says, I'm Raina, mother of two-year-old Cece, in parentheses, Cecilia, and pregnant with baby number two. I'm in the bathroom contouring a jawline, only one chin and some cheekbones right now, while Paw Patrol is babysitting my kid in the living room. Any guesses on how pregnant I am? Yep, you guessed it. 8 months. I'm a little late to the pod, so I've been binging. I've been binging We Knows Parenting for weeks now, prepping for life with two kids. And our future looks bright, question mark? Ha ha. I live in the coldest place on earth, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. You'd love it, Beth. For listeners, just know that I hate the cold so much. She says, I brought my husband here 4 years ago after we lived in the U.S. for 9 years together. He's from Western New York and constantly complains about the cold here. I tell him that these are the consequences of falling in love with a Canadian. Am I right?
You are right.
Anywho, I woke up last night at 2 a.m. needing to pee as per usual, and the thought of a hypothetical for Peter. So here goes. Peter, you have an audition of a lifetime tomorrow in the city.
Oh, no!
The role is for an amazing part that would relocate the family to sunny L.A.
Oh, no.
Beth is away on a girls' trip out of the country and can only be reached at certain times of the day. You seamlessly put the kids to bed and have a cocktail to relax before heading off to bed yourself. You're feeling good about the audition tomorrow and fall asleep unmedicated, except for the booze, of course. You wake up in the middle of the night to the most vivid dream you've ever had. 10-year-old Bryn comes to you and warns you not to go to the audition tomorrow. No explanation as to why you shouldn't go or what would happen if you would go. Beth, your spirit guide and sounding board is not answering your calls or messages to debrief you from this dream. You finally get back to sleep after the dream and wake up thinking, did that dream really happen? Nah, it was just a dream. You're now getting the kids ready for school/daycare. Bryn is eating breakfast and chatting about stuff five-year-olds talk about. He says to you, dead in the eye, Daddy, I saw you in my dream last night. You've been warned. He snaps back to his adorable self and continues talking about random shit that five-year-olds talk about. Is Peppa Pig still a thing at age five? We don't know. We only have a two-year-old. What do you do? That's a great question. I like how this was littered with details of our lives. This person is paying close attention.
This person is binging right now.
This person is binging. What do you do, Peter?
Raina.
What do you do?
Great, would you know? Hitting all the buttons.
Hitting all the buttons.
I'm trying to really put myself in this place and to really be honest about what I would do.
Can I tell a quick story? It's like,
sure.
I was having, like many people, I have some anxiety that, you know, especially happens in moments of stress. And like 2 weeks ago, we were doing like our Friday night family dinner thing where we go out to eat sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a long day of working. It was one of those things where you're like working down to the wire and like trying to get something out the door over email. And like, then you're just like, in a perfect world, you would like breathe and decompress before you hang out with your kids. But I was just like rushing. And then I'm just like still keyed up. And then we get to the dinner and our kids are being crazy and like touching all the chopsticks on the table and everything. And like, I was like just sort of like trying to manage it, and clearly my anxiety was like very visible. And Bryn turned to me at one point during dinner and he goes, "Everything's gonna be okay." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? Like, what?" Like, it felt honestly like a message from above. Like, someone was like, "I need to tell." Like, it was like so weird.
Mama. Everything's going
to
be okay.
Like, he just turned to me so serious in the middle of it. And, like, granted, I was telling him to, like, calm down and, like, sit still and, like, you know, whatever he was doing. But, like, it was so bizarre.
I just want to acknowledge that there's a toddler next door screaming. And this is partly why we don't record in the middle of the day.
I have, like, sort of a weird, like, schadenfreude about this toddler next door, because he, like, you know, for so much of our lives in this apartment, we had another toddler.
Yeah.
And so, like, I have such vivid memories of, like, having to carry them up the stairs and them crying. And now, like, our building, we live in a series of co-op buildings all clustered together, which is a lot of families and stuff. And there's, like, you know, bushes and, like, stuff. And
you know, there's, you know, like bushes.
Well, yeah. And the kids run around, but, like, inevitably when you have the little kids, they run behind the bushes, like between the wall of the building and the bushes, and they're hiding. And then it's like you're worried about them like doing something dangerous. And like, I see this kid all the time out the window, like in the bushes. His parents are like, "Oh, come on!" Like, and I'm just like, "Wow, that really brings me back." And I'm so glad I'm not there anymore.
Ew, yeah. This kid is a screamy kid. We met.
No, he's just a toddler.
No, you mean yeah, but I met the parents and. The first time I met the dad, he with his son, he's like, "Hey, this is whomever." I don't remember his name, the kid. But he's like, "I got to warn you, this one's pretty loud." And I was like, "I don't know, my two will give you a run for his money." But
well, the thing is, if we were on their side of the wall, we'd be like, "Those kids are pretty loud."
Yeah.
I didn't realize that when we had our elderly neighbor living there who we share the kitchen wall with, like, I didn't realize how thin the wall was. And now when they have people over on like a Sunday and I'm in the kitchen, I'm like, "Oh, I can hear like full words that are being said."
Yeah, in the kitchen, it's straight through. Also, our new neighbor over here who also moved in replaced an older woman. It's not very loud, but she had a party there the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can hear everything.
Yeah, suddenly you're like, "Oh, you can hear exactly what we're watching on TV."
Yeah, that's what I realized. I was like, "Boy, I know our TV is too loud sometimes and no one's complaining." Oh, they only complain about much more embarrassing things.
Okay, so back to the question, Peter. What do you do?
All right, so if I'm being honest, I don't think it would stop me. And I think it would be a combination of things. One, I know that when I'm locked in on something I'm excited about, I can have pretty intense attention blindness.
Yes.
And if I'm really like excited about an audition and that's what I'm focused on and I can justify away
you're like the last person who's gonna respond to a sign. Like,
yeah,
it's so funny. I was telling my friend about signs. I've like recently become closer with this friend who she and I both have dead brothers who died or like, you know, roughly 10 years ago. And like, so we'll talk a little bit about like signs and like, like feeling their presence and stuff. And like, since we started talking about it, she's like, "I feel like I see so many more signs," whatever. But she was like, "Before I started talking to you about this, I was like Steve Martin in, what is the movie? He's like, there's some Steve Martin movie where he's like looking up and he's like, "Just give me a sign." And then like the wind comes and everything starts shaking. And it's like clearly like this huge like voice of God moment. And he goes, I forget the line, but he's just like, "Anything, can I get a sign?" And it's like, that's you. You're Steve Martin.
Well, that might be true. Yeah, but I'd also say, like, when you're like, now that we've been talking about signs, suddenly we see way more signs. Like, yeah, because you're talking about signs.
Right.
Anyway, all right, this is not the debate, but you're right. Give me a sign.
God forbid we focus on a positive thing in our lives, Peter.
I also wouldn't believe it because Bryn does things like that where he's like, Mama, it's going to be okay.
He did say the other day something about, like, I think when we were at your brother's place where he was like talking about how he saw you do something when you were a kid. And he was like, that's when I was old Bryn. he was like, I was there, but that Bryn died. And I was like,
the second he said that, I could feel you suddenly go, tell me more.
Yeah. Well, then he just like completely.
Yeah, that it was not
speaking nonsense. But
yeah, I mean, that's my general mode, is that like it's free association. And when stuff like that happens, even if it's like that direct, you know, I'm not going to say I'm right, but, you know, it's the, oh, it's in your mind. So you notice it. You're
literally a dream message and your own son speaking to you being like, Daddy, don't do this. And you're like, nah, it's nothing.
I wouldn't believe it. I know I'd be like, that's crazy. That's amazing. Anyway, see you guys later. I got to go to my audition.
Well,
boy, is that true? Well,
at least
it would
in this
have
scenario,
to be,
I get to move somewhere warm, I guess, before our
yeah,
lives
this is a win-win. I mean,
irreparably
then California
changed.
Falls into the sea. And
yeah, then we all die in an earthquake.
And an endless fire. boy, it's true. I think... And it's also like the example, actually she sent a follow-up email to this to clarify one point, because I think that she goes, he said, I saw you in my dream, you've been warned. Like if Bryn said that, I mean, like that's something Bryn would say.
You've been
but
warned.
She sent a follow-up where she goes, lack of sleep, sheer exhaustion, and prego brain are to blame. We'll go with that. This is an addendum. What I meant for Bryn to say at the breakfast table was, Daddy, I saw you in your dream last night. You've been warned.
Oh.
Although now that I say that, I'd have the same reaction.
Son literally knows what your dream was last night, and you're like, nah, it's nothing.
This statement doesn't say that he knows the details.
Oh my God.
He said, I saw you in your dream.
What would it take for you to believe?
He would have
to
describe the dream. He would have to go, Daddy, I was a 10-year-old in your dream, and I warned you not to go to that audition
okay,
tomorrow.
But didn't you see Harry Potter when the, what's it called? Divination.
Professor
teacher,
Trelawney?
When she has a vision, it's a flash, and then she's back to herself. That's how Bryn is. He's like, oh, that's when I was old Bryn. He died. Now I'm going to talk about peanuts. Like, he's not like... He's just getting these flashes, you know? Like, you can't...
Yeah, well, that's... That... I don't agree. he's got a... Oh, my God. So, when we were at San Races, when he was talking to my brother Michael about his thoughts...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
What did he say? He's like, these are my thoughts.
Well, we were asking him how he felt about the baby, and he was like... I don't know. Michael was like, what are your feelings or your thoughts or something on the baby? And he was like, you know, my thoughts, they just run away out of my head.
They're gone.
They're gone now.
They left. And I was like, your thoughts are gone? And he goes, yeah, they're really sleepy. They pooped their pants. And then he goes on this whole thing about his thought. He goes, I don't remember because my thoughts, they're gone. And he was like, Maven, are your thoughts gone? And she's like, no. And it was a perfect metaphor to how they and we process things, which is Maven and you retain the thoughts and feelings. And Bryn and I just barf them out. They yeah. shit themselves. And then mm-hmm. we happily walk away.
Yeah.
So I would remain skeptical and go to the audition because I'm selfish.
You'll never change. You'll lead your family to their demise.
But I'll love
you're focused on the prize.
I'll love them all the way there. This has been Would You Knows.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we share questions and comments from you guys.
Oh boy. So if you've been listening recently, you might be aware that we're redoing our bathroom. Beth has been working very hard. She's in charge of the design and she's doing essentially everything.
The fun thing about renovation is you order things online during Mercury retrograde in this case.
Right.
You don't really know until they arrive what they're quite going to look like or what the condition's going to be, or maybe whether they're going to arrive in huge, enormous boxes on pallets that they refuse to deliver up to your apartment, and you then have to go downstairs at 11:30 p.m. when your husband gets home to dismantle these enormous boxes and carry a vanity upstairs to your living room.
You never know when that's going to happen.
You don't. It's just, it's so unpredictable.
But I want to say we've had a few people reach out with advice and offer help. I want to give a big shout out to Matt, who's written in before.
Yeah, people have been very helpful.
He's a construction manager, and he volunteered to help us with this.
He volunteered to like deal directly with our contractor for us, which is very nice.
Matt, I want to say, we almost called you. We're in good shape, but
we're doing okay.
We really appreciate that.
Yesterday, I was trying to confirm something with our contractor over email. I'm going to keep derailing this email. But like, our contractor is like, I don't think English is his first language, and he's a very nice guy and like very like trying to be helpful. But he replied to an email, and there was like a typo. So instead of him saying "you need," I was like, "What kind of valves do we need?" I was like, I'm pretty sure we're responsible for buying these shut-off valves for the sink and the toilet and everything. And he's like, he said, you three valves, 3/8, and then there's like a jarbled numbers. And so I managed to like he then replied to that email. Someone, he's like CCing multiple people on his staff, so someone clearly was like, your email wasn't clear.
Yeah.
And then he replied to that email and he goes, you need 3 valves. And then I was like, okay, he's saying we need 3 valves that are those jarbled numbers at the top. And I Googled it and I think I figured it out. But I was like, I'm trying to learn how to be more direct and just like not beat around the bush. So I replied to him with an image of the product I found and was like, is this what you're talking about? Because I was like, what is happening here? Why can't there be, like, if I was running a company like this with like clients, I would have like a PDF or something with every person and be like, here's the usual deal, here's the information, like, do you know what I mean, like the basics, because they say things to you like you need a shower body, and then I'm like, okay, but what is a shower body? What does it constitute?
Great. What does that mean?
Right. Like, and then I'm like looking it up and I find like the shower parts, but I'm like, there's clearly something missing here. So that's why I was like emailing him about valves, and I found the valve for the shower. And it's like, I think I have what I need, but at the end of the day, I don't know.
Well, I saw this full email exchange later, and it looked like there was some very prompt communication going on ultimately.
It was fine. It's just, I think it's like coupled with the timeline of all this and that we're doing the renovation at Christmas, everything feels really urgent. And I'm like, I need to order this stuff now. And I don't really have time to figure out if I'm doing it right.
I like that whoever replied back, they replied back with another image from like a Google search and with an actual arrow on it pointing to the thing. And I was like, someone knows how to do markup.
I don't think I saw that email.
Oh, yeah, that's in reply to yours. They put an image with an arrow on it.
Okay, anyway, get to the question.
This is from Suzanne. Am I too late with reno advice? A little bit, but we're going to read it because there's some thoughtful advice here. Hi, Beth and Peter. I'm a big fan of the podcast and even came to saw you in Brooklyn. Oh, I think about writing all the time, but I am a... capital SAHM. Single.
Stay at home
mom. Stay at home mom. Okay, great. I've never seen that before. I was like, Saham? a stay-at-home mom to an 18-month-old and cannot keep one thought in my head for long. Funny side note, I'm not only a stay-at-home mom, but my husband travels Monday through Thursday, not a U.S. senator. So I'm alone with my toddler.
Oh, I thought we had a senator's wife on our hands.
We finally almost got one. So I am alone with my toddler 4 days and three nights a week. I am basically living Beth's worst nightmare.
Oh, God, it really is.
Mm. Anyways, on to renovation advice. Between two houses, I have renovated 5 bathrooms, so hopefully you can benefit from my mistakes and my wins. Number one, there's what follows is a very neat list. Which I respond positively to. Number one, priority number one is a good contractor. I cannot stress this enough. A good contractor will be collaborative and have an eye for design to suggest things you may not have thought of. A great contractor won't make any design decisions without you, and a bad contractor will never come back to finish the second coat of paint or install the last baseboard he needed to go to Home Depot for. Whatever type you have, don't make that final payment until the final baseboard is in place.
Mm. We've probably already paid this guy in full.
No.
Okay.
We haven't paid him at all. Last email I had with him is, let me know how, it's 50% deposit.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Number two, Pinterest is a really, really great place to find design inspiration. Just know that finding the same products you see on the screen can take some serious investigation. I really only use it for inspiration and go from there. I feel like you use that.
A little bit. I didn't really have time to completely vision board the whole thing. Although I guess I did Photoshop a little vision board together when I was trying to decide on tiles.
Just a little vision board.
I mean,
Photoshopping.
You just want to throw some things together and bounce ideas off your friends. But I,
you know who you didn't bounce ideas off of?
I did. I asked you about the tile and then there was tile, it was out of stock or something. And then I ended up looking at different tiles.
I'm not complaining. I have 100% faith in your design choices.
I didn't do a ton of Pinteresting, but I did when I was searching, we need there's so many little details that become bizarrely frustrating, which is we're tiling up to 4 feet high around the entire bathroom. And then our bathroom is so tiny, so that's really limiting our choices. So a toilet paper holder needs to be made out of white tile to match.
Yeah.
You can't just buy random ones. And then we're doing subway tiles. So there's a certain look to that. And then if you look at white tile toilet paper holders, there's a lot of them have this sort of 70s split level home feel, if that makes sense. And I
this toilet roll holder is a real split level ranch.
It has a feel to it that doesn't feel subway tiley to me. And then I found one online, on Pinterest that was oh, that's exactly what I need. And then I go to the link and it was this company that reconfigures, they take molds from 1920s tile things and they use the old molds and they remake the tile. But of course, to buy that one, it was $160 or something for this tiny piece of tile that costs 5 cents to make. So then I finally found a similar thing actually randomly that looked pretty similar for, I don't know, $30 or something. And I was so happy. And I had a similar thing happen with I picked out a faucet and shower head and that same company, Kohler, has a whole matching thing of hooks and towel rods and stuff. But of course, for this tiny coat hook that's literally a tiny circle, the Kohler company charges $80 for it. And then I found a similar one for $18 or something. So I was okay. This one is cheap enough that I can order it and see how well it matches and then figure out if I want to buy the other matching hardware that they make. You know what I mean? But it's just this stuff is so expensive and you just don't know until it shows up if it's going
to
be right.
Well, this next point speaks to that a little bit. Three, also some stuff on Pinterest is really expensive and sometimes unrealistic. So you find ways to compromise. When the plaid tile floor I was dying for was going to be $2,000, I had to acquiesce, and we are finding other ways to make me a preppy bathroom reminiscent of a golf clubhouse.
Oh, that sounds cute.
We bought a former golf course. It's a long story. What? We bought a former golf
course.
What
does your husband do?
He's definitely a senator.
Wait. This is a senator's wife. We had a...
Wait. Okay. Suzanne, you bought a former golf course or you bought a former golf clubhouse? I need to know because a golf course is a lot of land.
You bought a golf course.
We live in the land of golf courses, country clubs in Westchester.
The land of golf courses.
You ever looked at Google Maps and where we live? It's like 50% golf courses.
Don't get me started on golf courses.
That being said, since I didn't get my flooring, I splurged for a beautiful mirror that even my husband had to admit was worth the dollar sign. Number four. IKEA is great for small designs, and a lot of times their cabinets can be customized. So if you see a vanity you want from them, you can just buy the box for the vanity and your contractor can make doors. Well, it's too late for that.
Too late for that. But I will say, like, where I am putting my money in the bathroom is, like, because it's so tiny, I am, like, obsessive about storage. So I did get like the biggest bathroom mirror medicine cabinet I could find and fit into the space. And then we have one of those little, I don't know what you call these things in our building. Our apartment's probably built in like the 1960, like 1960 exactly, right? And then they have these weird like doors on the wall, like cabinet.
Oh, I think it's a hamper.
I guess, but it doesn't really make sense as a
it's
hamper.
It's a metal door that opens up the front. The top has a little lift up hatch like a hamper.
Yeah.
Built in the wall, but then the bottom part you open.
Right.
Like it's a diaper trash.
Anyway, so it's just like weird and we keep toilet paper in it. And it was like one of those things where the contractor was like, well, I can, they don't make these anymore. You can't replace this. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, we don't know what it is.
Yeah. I was like, I know. I'm not asking for one of these weird, confusing things. And he was like, so I can paint it or take it out. And I was like, well, can we have storage here? Like some sort of thing? Because again, the bathroom is so small. I cannot overemphasize that. And he was like, oh, we could build in like custom shelving and do a little cabinet. And I'm like, yeah, that would make way more sense than this thing, which is a cabinet but looks bizarre.
Yeah.
So I am paying him to do that. And that's like a big splurge sort
of thing.
I support
that. Number five, Wayfair. My contractor has been shocked at the great stuff I've gotten from Wayfair and at really good prices. I'm talking sinks, toilets, fixtures, etc. We've gotten our shower systems from Amazon at our contractor's advice. He's finding these knockoffs on Amazon can be pretty close to stuff he sees at three times the price. Well, I could go on and on, but I'll stop there. Seriously, if you have any questions at all, I'll happily answer anything. If my toddler lets me touch my computer, good luck with the reno. Best, Suzanne. P.S. My husband is a senator.
Did she say that?
No.
I wish. P.S. This is a senator's wife. Okay, so here's what I'll have to say about Wayfair, though, is that a few months back, they were in the news. People were boycotting them because Wayfair was supplying beds to the border camps where they're keeping all the children and separating children from their parents and everything. And so people are trying to avoid Wayfair. I can't remember if they resolved it, but I feel like Wayfair did that thing where they like do an apology, but they don't change their policies or actually correct it in any way. So I'm trying to avoid Wayfair, even though they have very cheap things. Most of the stuff I was getting a lot of cheap stuff on build.com, which has not arrived yet. I'm sure someone will probably write in and tell me like build.com is like owned by Wayfair. I have not researched this. But I also got our vanity from a website called Signature Hardware, which is like sort of much cheaper, you know, restoration hardware or whatever. It's like a way cheaper. And that's why
can just
we
reiterate
got those,
how much we hate Restoration Hardware.
But anyway, Signature Hardware, you must now know, will deliver your items in enormous boxes on pallets that they refuse to deliver inside your home. They only will leave it on the curb and make you figure it out.
And make all of your neighbors walk past two giant boxes. So you'll have to write a note on the box that says, sorry, we'll take care of later.
Yeah, I just felt, I know, well, it was a whole saga because the guy showed up and he was already mad because he was like, this is literally what happens to him all day long. He works for a shipping company that is hired by Signature Hardware, and the communication is very bad, so they're not really warning people what's about to happen. So all day long, he's dealing with people who are mad at him, the delivery guy who didn't create this system.
Yeah.
So I felt for him. But he's explaining this to me, and I'm just like, well, I don't know if I can take the shipment because now it's like 4:30 p.m. I have to go get the kids soon. You're trying to give me huge pallets. I'm one woman. I can't physically, like,
I'm a one woman.
So then I'm like, okay, let me see if I can go get like the porters who work in our building and maybe I can like pay them. But of course I have like no cash on me. And I'm trying to like, I go into the, like the break room of the porters and I start telling them like what's happening and trying to, and they all stared blankly at me and did like a masterful, like gaze into the distance where like they like, very much pretended to not know what I was talking about and like not really listening to me and just like sort of all trying to like shrug it off at once. And finally one of them was like, I can go get you the hand truck or whatever. And like, and I'm like, okay, like, and is he gonna help me? And then he's walking, he's like walking with me and he's like, yeah, I can get it to you, but like I'm off in 10 minutes, so like I'll just give it to you and you can bring it back. And I'm like, I'm still one woman. I can't do this. And I have like all these.
Yeah, a hand cart.
All these.
Will not get anything up a flight of stairs.
Yeah, like two flights of stairs, basically. So I like, oh my God. So then I have to go back to this delivery guy and I'm like, I can't get any help with this. I really just want to like reject the delivery and like deal with it later. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this because if I sign off on this and I suddenly have all this stuff that's, and I was like looking at the sky, like, is it going to rain? He's going to leave this on the sidewalk. Like, what's happening? And I have
what
to,
am I doing?
And I'm like, I have to go get my kids. This is all, like, all of this, this week has been so Mercury retrograde. So I'm like talking to the guy and he's, and then the delivery guy was like nice and trying to work with me, even though he was still very annoyed at the system. And he's explaining it to me and he's like, this happens to me all day. People, like, I'll meet people like you, like, and he's like, but he's like, this one woman last week is like cussing me out and like calling the cops on me because of this. And I'm like, I feel for you, but I just like don't, I don't really like, know what to do here right now. Like, what is happening? And so he's like, I've got an idea. He like wheels his like pole thing that is able to carry pallets of wood, and he wheels it over in front of our front door so that the entrance to our building is like flanked by two enormous boxes. And I'm just like, I guess I'll just deal with this later.
Oh, so this whole thing before was they were just still in the truck?
Yeah.
And he like was just like, here, take it.
Well, he was like, my job is to go put it on the sidewalk, which, okay, as you know, is like still like 100 yards from our front door.
So in the end, the compromise is that he took it to the door.
He took it to the door. I understand where he's coming from because he's like, I need to make this delivery. I need you to sign this piece of paper. I need to move on with my life.
Yeah.
My day is ending. And like, I feel for him, but I was just like, what is happening? And so, and it made no sense too, because our bathroom is tiny. The vanity I ordered is 24 inches. I was like, what, why are these boxes so big?
It looks like we bought two smart cars.
It was making me so nervous that I was like, they sent the wrong thing. I'm going to be stuck with it. This is like,
turns out one of them was a giant empty box to prop up the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was still just like such needless packaging. Anyway, it was a nightmare.
Well,
but we figured it out.
Suzanne, thank you so much for your advice. Why do you live on a golf course? Who is your senator husband? And this has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you'd like to write in to tell us who your senator husband is, or ask a question, send us a Would You Knows scenario, you can do so at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at weknowspod. And why not leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts? 5 stars.
And say, this podcast slaps.
This podcast slaps. Is that, that is the title of your next review. Okay. This podcast slaps.
Or anything else positive you feel like saying.
Is that positive? When we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.